I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network Sports Update.
The update comes from One Bills Drive, where the Bills have wrapped up their Friday practice today, and rookie running back Devin Singletary will not play Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals. That word from head coach Sean McDermott. Third-round pick has that hamstring injury that he suffered late in the game at New York last week, and he will not play this week. That leaves the Bills with a running back tandem of Frank Gore and T.J. Yeldon. Taron Johnson, nickel corner, has also been ruled out of the game. He's got a hamstring. McDermott says Tre'Davious White, who had a little bit of a neck issue, should be good to go. Tyler Croft, not expected to play Sunday, but the Bills say he is trending in the right direction. His injury, that he had an ankle injury yesterday, and his second full day of practice, his ankle injury not as serious as they first thought. Bills-Bengals, 1 o'clock Sunday. I've got the play-by-play. Eric Wood is our color analyst. Sal Capaccio on the sidelines. You can hear it all on our flagship radio station, WGR Sports Radio 550. Gardner Minshew, filling in for Nick Foles, is doing it for the Jacksonville Jaguars against Tennessee Titans. It was all on Gardner Minshew. He delivered with two touchdown passes and also two other scoring drives, and the Jaguars won at Jacksonville by a score of 20-7. Do the Jaguars convince Jalen Ramsey to stay now? His trade request went public this week. They're going to decide, it would seem, today. Will the franchise make an offer he can't refuse? Or will somebody else try to come in and sweep in and get Jalen Ramsey? The Jags expected to decide today. Patriots quarterback Tom Brady watched the first half of last night's Tennessee-Jacksonville game and turned it off. He said ridiculous penalties were the reason. 15 penalties in the first half, called by referee Sean Hockley's crew. Eagles go into week 3 without their top deep threat. DeSean Jackson is going to miss Sunday's game against Detroit. He's got a groin injury. UB Bulls play at home tomorrow, 3:30 kickoff tomorrow. The Bulls at 1-2. Played Temple University. The Owls come in 2-0. 3:30 kickoff at UB Stadium. The Bulls 8-1 in their last 9 games played at UB Stadium. And the Sabres take on Toronto. A couple of preseason games this weekend. It starts tonight in Toronto. 7 o'clock faceoff from Scotiabank Arena. John Murphy, Steve Tasker here in our One Buffalo studio, here in our Seneca studio in Orchard Park. Getting set for hour number 2. Bills and Bengals coming up. We got just the guy to talk about it, too. He is executive producer and analyst of NFL Matchup on ESPN. He's also a longtime senior producer at NFL Films. He is our regular guest on Fridays at 1 p.m. Greg Cosell joined us. Good afternoon, Greg. Thanks for coming on.
Murph, Steve, how are you guys doing?
Doing good.
Doing really good.
Got a 2-0 team here that's playing pretty well.
We got a 2-0 team, Greg, but the Bills have yet to play a team who's actually won a game. And how? But the offense is a little better. Do you think the Bills' offense has improved because of the scheme that they're running or because of the people that are running it? What do you base this improvement for the Bills' offense on? It has gotten better.
No question. It's funny. I actually think Josh Allen was not quite as good this week as he was week 1, but I think he's still making more throws than he did a year ago. And some very good ones. He missed some this week, both ones that he just missed with poor accuracy and one that I thought he missed because he just didn't process it quite properly. But for the most part, I think he's incrementally improving. And I think when all said and done, they ran the ball. They're running the ball pretty good. I mean, what's really interesting about their run game is how much they pull offensive linemen. That seems to be their foundation of the run game. They pull people all the time, and they're very effective doing it.
I can't recall if we talked about this with you last week, Greg, but the way they move those offensive linemen around, it looks like 1970s, 1980s football, except that you've got 335-pound guys running around like that on the offensive line now.
Yeah, they normally pull the interior guys. That seems to be their staple. The center more and the two guards, depending on which side they run to. A lot of the runs have been to the left, which involves Spain. But that seems to be the foundation of their run game. They're very effective with it. It gives you that kind of pin-pull concept as well, where you get those down blocks and those seal blocks on the outside. And the thing that I notice a lot when they do run strong, which is what they predominantly do, they have Lee Smith in the game because he's essentially another tackle. So they run to his side, and they're very effective doing so.
How many teams have you seen? I know they're not many, but with the Bills, particularly with a young quarterback and all the question marks coming into the season, they've had their touchdowns have almost all come from like 75, 80-yard drives that have gone all the way down the field. I think perhaps that's the most impressive thing we've seen.
No, I agree, because you don't normally see a ton of those in the NFL these days. But I think they've been running the ball with sustaining consistency. You know, and Josh Allen, as I said, while he's still growing and learning and missed some throws, is making some critical throws. And, you know, I think they've been able to do that. You know, I think their O-line has been solid. It's an improving group, and I think it'll get better. I'm curious about the right tackle position, what their thought process is there. Are they rotating? You know, is that a rotation just based on the players?
I will answer the best I can. I know that Ty Nsekhe has just kind of a sore knee that they don't want to put the whole load on him. And I do think there's an effort being made to get some reps for Cody Ford. So that's why you see him out there once in a while too.
Yeah, no, because I mean, obviously that's what's been happening, and you know, it's been pretty effective.
Greg Cosell joins us. He is executive producer, analyst, NFL matchup on ESPN. You can see it tomorrow, 7 a.m. on ESPN2. You can see it Sunday, 3 a.m. and 6:30 a.m. on the big ESPN. So this matchup with the Bengals, Greg, first of all, can the Bills, you can't overlook the Bengals, but if the Bills play the way they're capable, they should be able to beat this Cincinnati team, no?
Well, the Bengals offense has been pretty good, and I think they do present some issues. I guess A.J. Green is not quite ready to go yet, but the Bengals offense does present some issues in their approach because they have Zach Taylor, who came from the Rams. You still see a lot of reduced splits. They certainly have John Ross, who can get over the top. You know, I think when you watch this offense, you probably think about the O-line as a potential area that you can attack. And ideally do so with some movement with your defensive line. And the Bills have shown a pretty good rotational D-line. I mean, they play seven or eight guys, and it seems like they almost have two separate and distinct units that they play. But, you know, the thing about Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier, which they do so well, is they do coverage disguise. They're not that multiple in their coverages, but what they often show before the ball is snapped is not what it turns out to be. Now, Andy Dalton is a veteran, so theoretically he should be able to decipher that. But I think the receiving core, they have to decipher it as well.
Hey, just going back, you mentioned the Bengals play. I think the Rams do it too, reduced splits. Can you talk about what that means and what that does for an offense?
Well, what reduced splits means is that the wide receivers, instead of lining up wide, they line up closer to the formation, so they're tighter to the formation. There's a couple of things that can do. Number one, it can help the run game because those receivers are in position to block. And number two, it gives a lot of those receivers what we call two-way goes because they're not close to the sideline. Number three, you don't often see teams press receivers that are tighter to the formation just because it's tougher to do that. So you can get some advantages from that. You can work the middle of the field very effectively from that position. Splits are critical with wide receivers because based on splits, very often teams understand what an offense is trying to do. So when you have these reduced splits, you can work a little more to the entire field. So it's you create leverage. You create leverage for wide receivers because corners tend to play outside of them.
I wanted to ask you about one specific player on the Buffalo Bills. We've just gotten word late here, I guess, that he probably will not play, and that's Devin Singletary.
Yeah.
A little bit of a question mark coming into the season, but he has gotten more than his share of snaps as a rookie running back. What have you seen with his game? And even though the Bills won't have him this year or this game, going forward, we'd like to know what your thoughts are about him, Devin Singletary.
Yeah, and he's been the beneficiary of this blocking scheme where they pull the two linemen, and you know, sort of it's almost a form of outside zone pin pull. I'm sure every team might call it something different, but he's been very good with that. It creates room for him to generate some momentum. I think he's a momentum runner, and they blocked that extremely well on the edge, and he's really shown a lot with those kinds of runs. He's had about three or four of them in the first 2 weeks that have gained 10 plus yards, maybe even four or five. But he's shown that ability to get out on the perimeter, which is not what Frank Gore is going to do. But Frank Gore this past week still showed the ability to work hard inside and gain those tough yards.
Greg, my broadcast partner on Sundays, Eric Wood, former offensive lineman. He loves the way Singletary sets up his offensive line. He kind of plays off of the way they're going. Can you talk about that? Have you seen that?
Well, I think what he's probably talking about is there's a patience to Singletary because a lot of rookie running backs in the NFL and everything is faster and they just take the snap and they go. And I think, you know, it's that old phrase, which I'm sure Eric Wood is very familiar with. It's not speed to the hole, it's speed through the hole. And I think Singletary has shown a little bit of patience, a little bit of understanding how blocks work. And on those perimeter runs, a lot of patience is built into those runs because he starts, he takes the ball, particularly on the tosses, he's already 7-8 yards behind the line of scrimmage. So it's hard not to run with some form of patience on those kinds of runs.
Well, we've also been watching that Cincinnati offense, and you've said yourself they've been playing pretty well. One of the reasons is John Ross, his emergence. He's gotten healthy over the first 2 years of his career. He was not that healthy. Now he seems to be 100%, plus A.J. Green is off the field. They needed somebody, and he stepped up. How do you see the matchup between John Ross and the Bills' secondary, particularly Tre'Davious White, taking place?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if that's what the Bills decide to do, if they decide to match White up on Ross, because last year they started to use White as a matchup corner. Ross obviously has great speed. He can catch the short ball, a slant, which I think he did this past week, and he can score. So I think ultimately, the thing you need to do with him, you can't let him get over the top. And if he catches short passes, you've obviously got to tackle him. But he's one of those explosive guys that can score from anywhere on the field. He will drop some, but he gives you that dimension which every team wants to have.
Question for you also about the Cincinnati offense, and that's the problems they have in the running game. Is there something wrong with Mixon that you see, or is it just an offensive line issue?
I don't think their O-line is particularly good, to be honest with you. I think Mixon is a very talented back. He has not had a lot of room to run. They've also thrown the ball an awful lot in the two games.
More than anybody else in the league, I think.
Now, the first week, I know Dalton dropped back more than 50 times. This past week against the 49ers, they got behind, and they started to throw the ball a lot. But I think Mixon has not had much room at all.
If their offensive line, and it does continue, it seems that from the early stages of this week and how they're preparing, it looks like their offensive line is continuing to get nicked up, and they've got backups playing. How do you see them stacking up against a Bills defensive unit that we think is pretty good?
Yeah, and as I said, they've got a nice rotation, almost two units that play, and I think it's pretty good against the run. I think they're better against the run than they are rushing the quarterback. I would think that, look, they just played Barkley, and obviously Barkley is as special as they come, and he had some nice runs, and he's got more juice than Mixon, although Mixon is good. But I also think that the Giants' O-line is better than the Bengals' O-line. So we'll see. That's a key matchup in this game because, to me, again, I don't know how Zach Taylor is going to look at his game plan, but my guess is they don't want to go into Buffalo with the thought that Andy Dalton's going to drop back 45-plus times.
And to flip it around to the other side for a second here, should the Bills – I'm sure they know all about Carlos Dunlap and Geno Atkins. Are those two still capable of creating problems up front for the Buffalo offense?
For sure. For sure. But, one nice thing I think about the way the Bills have been playing is I think they've been pretty balanced. I don't think they're asking Josh Allen to go out there and just throw the ball. I think what I liked was the way they used Frank Gore last week, because Gore is a sustaining back. He's still that kind of back, and he can put you in those, stay ahead of the sticks kind of situations. Can Carlos Dunlap, Geno Atkins is really good. So, you have to be careful with him depending on the situation. He can beat guards one-on-one, so you do have to be careful with him.
I got to ask you about if Devin Singletary is out of the game, T.J. Yeldon, kind of still a question mark for Buffalo Bills fans. We saw him play for Jacksonville a little bit, but even then he was a backup guy. And Frank Gore, the two of those guys are probably going to carry the load for the Bills running game. What do you see in that combination with Frank Gore and T.J. Yeldon?
I think it's solid. I think Gore will still get the bulk of the carries as he did this past week, and I think Yeldon will be the complement. Yeldon's always been a good receiver, particularly in the screen game. I would imagine you'll see some of that this week, and Yeldon certainly can carry 5, 6, 7, 8 times if need be. Obviously, I don't think you're going to see Gore carry 25 times, but I believe last week, Gore had 17 carries, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, sounds right.
And obviously carried a number of those carries came toward the end when they were essentially running the clock out. But I think Gore would still be the so-called workhorse, and that Yeldon would be the complement. And Yeldon will play in the second and long and third and long situations, and he can be an effective receiver.
Greg Cosell, our guest, he's executive producer, analyst for NFL Matchup on ESPN. Let's move around the league a little bit, Greg. Why do I get the feeling that we're this close to a star is born moment for Gardner Minshew, right? We're this close to it. He's almost there.
Well, Murph, come on. We've only played, a couple of games here. I mean, I think the kid's poised, composed. He's clearly accurate. He seems to have a very good feel for the passing game. But I think before we anoint him, I think we have to, let him play a few more games.
I'm not anointing him.
No, anoint
maybe
him.
Maybe just one or two.
Anoint him now. It's more fun. Right?
I just think he's been interesting. He was a joke when he got to play, and now you're like, oh, maybe, right? With this guy, maybe.
No, I mean, he was a player when I watched at Washington State. It's funny. I went back and looked at my notes, and I actually made a lot of notes that reflect the way he's playing now. He's under 6'1", which he's not a physically imposing guy, but he's got a very good feel for where the ball goes. So far from what I've seen, I haven't watched last night's tape yet, but it seems to me he knows where to go with the ball. That stood out in the first two games, which I did watch on tape. And he's pretty consistently accurate. I mean, he's an easy thrower. He doesn't have a big arm, but he's an easy thrower, and his ball placement's been really good.
You sound like you like him more than I do, Greg.
I do like him so far.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to say that he's great, but I like what I've seen.
I didn't say great.
What are the Titans going to do with Marcus Mariota? I mean, they seem to be moving backwards almost.
Yeah. Yeah, Mariota is one of those guys. He's not an overly gifted thrower. Troy Aikman spoke about this last night, and I've noticed this all through the years. He's a very deliberate player. There's not a lot of urgency to what he does. So the thing is he got sacked 9 times last night, and it always seems, I'm not saying they're all on him. Like I said, I haven't seen the tape, and there were a number I remember from watching the game where he had no chance whatsoever. But he is not there's no urgency to his movement. And even though he's a very good athlete, there's a difference between being a really good athlete and being a quarterback athlete. He's not very good with pocket movement within the confines of the pocket. There's a lot of guys who can avoid sacks by moving within the pocket, and Mariota, that's not a strength of his game.
Greg, Eli Manning out, and it's a Daniel Jones time now for the New York Giants. What can the Giants expect from him in his first NFL start?
Boy, that's hard to know, only because the Giant defense has been so poor and they've fallen behind in games. I mean, look, I'm not saying anything anyone else has not been saying since he was announced, that you have Saquon Barkley and you want to give him the ball, and you do. But on the other hand, their defense, which has really, I mean, they've been fundamentally poor the first two games. So, in an ideal world, the game can be close. They play the Bucs, and you can stay with Barkley, and you can let Jones work off that, and we'll go from there. But, I mean, I think when all's said and done, you'll see a lot of RPO. You'll see what he did in college a lot of. You'll put him in the gun. You'll see RPOs. You'll see things that get him comfortable early in the game.
One of the other things I wanted to ask you about was a matchup that everybody's kind of watching, and that's Patrick Mahomes against Lamar Jackson, two of the most prolific offenses in the league going against each other in the week 3 of the season. How do you think it's going to turn out?
Well, these teams played last year week 14, and the Ravens really did an excellent job on defense, just as they did last week against Kyler Murray with all their multiple fronts, their different coverages. They show you a lot. Mahomes threw the ball last year in that game over 50 times. They just got over 20 points late in the fourth quarter. So the Ravens really present some issues with their ability to cover as well. So we'll see how it plays out. I mean, I actually thought the Raiders had a pretty good plan last week, and they just made some assignment mistakes that resulted in big play touchdowns. Lamar Jackson has shown the ability through 2 weeks to throw the ball well. He's made some good throws. They do a really nice job with scheme. to define a lot of throws where receivers are open based on what they can do schematically. And we'll see if it continues. But there's no question that Lamar Jackson has thrown the ball well through 2 weeks.
Hey, Greg, the Green Bay Packers have scored 31 points total in their first couple of games. They're 2-0.
Yeah.
Are they doing it with mirrors? What are they doing up there?
Well, you know, it's funny because it's Aaron Rodgers. That's all people want to talk about.
Right.
Mike Pettine, to me, has done an unbelievably good job. I mean, Mike Pettine, with that defense, you know, what he likes to do is to play with 5 and 6 defensive backs. Now, this past week against Minnesota, he played a lot of base because Minnesota lined up with a fullback and or two tight ends. So he's played a lot of base, but their defense has really, really played well. And you know, I think that's why they brought Mike Pettine in, because Matt LaFleur, being a young head coach, he's not going to deal with the defense at all. So, you know, while Aaron Rodgers is the guy everyone wants to talk about, I think right now their defense has really been a foundation of their first two wins.
You guys get around to featuring a Bills game yet on NFL Matchup, or are we still away?
We thought about it this week.
Oh, you thought about it.
And we will next week 100% because they play the Patriots. So the Bills-Patriots will be in the show next week. I can promise you that.
Okay.
All right.
It's a great show.
We can live with that. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you, Greg.
They better win. Hey, guys, make sure they win on Sunday, please.
We'll do our best.
All right.
Or that promise is invalid, I bet, huh?
Yes. Well, yeah.
Thanks, Greg. Greg Cosell,
he is executive. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Executive producer, analyst, NFL Matchup on ESPN. You can catch it this week, tomorrow, 7 a.m. on ESPN2. Sunday, 3 a.m., 6:30 a.m. on ESPN. Greg, also senior producer at NFL Films. A good, balanced, reasoned, sane approach to where the Bills are at and what they might be able to do. That's what we get from Greg on a weekly basis, I think.
We certainly do.
Thank you, Greg. All right, we got more to come. Stick around. We're coming back. We want to hear from you about the matchups that matter to you in this Bills-Bengals matchup. What's the most critical one? Which matchup are you looking forward to the most? Give us a call. We'll recap the Twitter poll so far when we come back, and we'll get your phone calls on the air at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health from the Seneca Studio. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
No motor this Sunday. Singletary's out. We'll talk about that in a moment. We are motoring our way through this Friday show, though, however, Mr. Tasker. Don't you feel that way?
Yeah.
Getting a lot done here.
Accelerating the weekend.
Foot firmly on the gas pedal. We're going to get the injury update from Sean McDermott. I want to get you involved in our discussion today. What's the matchup you're most looking forward to against the Bengals on Sunday? What do you like? Let's take a look at the Twitter poll and talk about that first, because it's getting a pretty good response on Twitter. The matchup that you really want to see this Sunday when the Bills take the field against the Cincinnati Bengals. What is it? We offer a couple options. We leave in the obligatory other. 52% of you say you want to see Josh Allen against the Cincinnati secondary. 34% say you want to see the Bills' defensive front seven against the Cincinnati offensive line. That's where I'm at. 12% say you want to see Trey White against John Ross. 3% have something else in mind. We got wide open phone lines, so let us know what's on your mind. 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Week 3, Bills have a couple of injury issues, including for the former Cincinnati Bengal, Tyler Kroft, who banged up his ankle in practice on yesterday. Of course, he was a free agent signing for the Bills who got hurt week one of the OTAs. Tyler Kroft not able to get ready to play until this week, and then he got hurt 2 days in. Sean McDermott talked to the media about a half hour ago as practice wound up. Here's what he had to say about Kroft and the other Buffalo injuries.
Yeah, he's been strong. He's supported by a great family and a strong team. And, you know, when he went down, like I said yesterday, everyone felt for him because they know how hard he'd worked and what a great teammate he is. And we'll be anxious to get him back.
Is Devin more of a, so earlier in the season, you'd rather be err on the side of caution with him as opposed to pushing it out there?
Yeah, no, I'll just leave it like I said. He's going to be out this game. We'll see what happens as he goes through the rehab this weekend.
Andre looked like he came through the week pretty well. Where is he?
Yeah, he'll be ready to go. He looks good, ready to go. Yep.
What do you think that could add? to have that element that you guys were, you know, obviously invested a good amount of money to want to bring that here. What do you think that can add this weekend?
Yeah, I thought he did a good. I thought Micah did a good job, you know, in Andre's absence, as did Isaiah. So you know, it's nice to have a guy that's done it, a veteran player with that we trust, and so it's. I know he's been anxious, kind of just anxious to get out there and help the team, which is a good approach.
Is buried the lead. Andre Roberts, good to go. I think that's significant, don't you? Return specialist?
Yes, I do. Yeah. Because yes, I do. Because they're going to have to do something with Isaiah McKenzie or Robert Foster. Isaiah McKenzie's been active and playing, and or they're going to have to keep those guys active, and Andre Roberts just comes in and plugs right into Devin Singletary's spot, and they go with six wideouts. That's big.
Yeah.
And Andre Roberts is a Pro Bowl player. Pro Bowl caliber player on the return game. So I think, too, you got Heath Farwell, who is all of a sudden getting a playmaker plugged into his spot. So he's got to be thinking something special, too. So and the guys up front. And I think the guys on the return game, the guys who are blocking on kickoff return, the guys on punt return, all those guys – are going to get a little bit of juice from having Andre Roberts back there, knowing what he can do with the football in his hands. So, yeah, that's a plus as well.
One of the top return specialists last year in the NFL, has not played this year, had the quad muscle injury week one going into the regular season opener, but good to go. Good to go, according to Sean McDermott, Andre Roberts. And look, you know, we celebrate those long scoring drives last week, 75 yards, 70 yards, 98 yards. That's great. It'd also be great to get a look at a couple of 45-yard fields and 38-yard drives, right? And that's what a return specialist can do for you.
When the offense walks onto the field in field goal range already. You know? That's kind of nice. Yeah, it would be. And plus, this is an offense – it kind of goes on the wayside because it's, like we say, it's only two games. The Buffalo Bills are tied for the National Football League lead in red zone efficiency. Every time this season they have gotten in the red zone, they've come away with a touchdown. They have not had to settle for a field goal yet. That's big.
Yep.
And I don't know if they're – I don't know if it's a function of it being two games and it's the Jets-Giants or if they're good, or I think it's probably they're at least a little better than they were a year ago in the red zone. Josh Allen gives them a little added – juice down there because he can just put it under his arm and run into the corner of the end zone, the same corner of the end zone 2 weeks in a row, you know, in the Meadowlands. But they're better than down there. And you give them a short field or two, that changes things.
That'd be great. What do you think, matchup you're looking for? Give us a call. Mo on the line in Cheektowaga. Hello, Mo. Go ahead.
Hey, Murph. First of all, congratulations on your inductee.
Thank you, Mo.
Just want your opinion on, I'm seeing 90%, 95% of these kickoffs are going into the end zone. Are they ever going to do away with that? Isn't it a waste of time?
I don't think they're going to do away with it. Steve was on the initial NFL panel that met to discuss. I think I do say this, Steve, and you saw it last year, as the season moves along and it gets colder and the ball gets firmer and the winds start blowing, that happens less often. And I think the league's probably happy with what they've got going on kickoffs right now.
Yeah, they like it the way it is, I think, because like Murph said, last year all of a sudden it went from zero kickoff returns on opening day or whatever, I'm exaggerating. But like 90, like you said, Mo, 90-95% of those things are going in the end zone down to, you know, maybe it's a coin flip as to whether that thing goes into the end zone. And now it becomes a factor in games that are more meaningful because there's nothing you can't recover from them next week. You lose this week, you go home for the season. You know, it's more of those crucial games. So when the crucial games come around, you've got teams that had to stay sharp in that area of the game or it's going to cost them late in the season. So I think the league likes right where it is and let the conditions of the stadium dictate as to whether you're going to win or lose with something you haven't been able to do all season.
At the end of the year, and I think it came out Super Bowl week when you were there, and I cannot cite the numbers, but the league produced evidence that showed fewer injuries on kickoff plays, right? And that's what they were going
for. Yeah,
it was significant.
Yeah, concussions were like almost, you know, obliterated for a large part of the season. Now, there's still a couple of them on kickoff coverage, but it was completely different than it had been in the past with the injuries that were sustained. Yeah, it does make a difference.
Matchup you like Sunday for the Bills. Jim on the line from Rochester. Hello, Jim. You're up next. Go ahead.
Hello, guys. Rewatched the last game the other day, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to Lee Smith. I know Greg talked about it, but he is dominating. He is. If you look at Singletary's runs, he's not even getting touched around the edge.
Yeah,
Lee Smith is pretty much dominating there. But
yeah, and can I say this too, Jim? And I'm not an offensive line blocking expert in any way, but it has been pointed out to me, and I believe it. We see Mitch Morse running. We see Feliciano on the run. You see Spain on the run, pulling guards in center. But none of that works if they don't get the seal right at the line of scrimmage, and that's what Lee Smith's been doing when they run it.
Yeah,
place.
And not just Lee Smith. You also saw Dawson Knox get out in front of Devin Singletary on his touchdown run, one-on-one out in big space, and stayed on the guy and sustained his block enough for the touchdown. So the tight ends are doing a really good job. And Lee Smith, you're right. They tease him about being an offensive lineman wearing an 80s number. Yeah. He has shown it. That guy is a dominant blocker, and he makes it possible for them to get around the edge with the pulling lineman coming outside of him. He's been great. I know this too. He's caught some passes in his day as well, so he's given them just what they need from him at this point. And I think behind the scenes and in interviews and in the media and when they've been asked about it, Sean McDermott has always said Lee Smith, it's about his leadership in the room as much as anything. And he's got two rookie tight ends that they're getting contributions from. And I think Lee Smith deserves some of their success as well. Yep. He's helping those guys get ready to play at the NFL level.
Jim, thanks for your call. Let's go to the tweet sheet real quick here. The tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills on Twitter. What do you have there, Steve?
Yeah, from Ryan. He says he went other on the Twitter poll. He goes, I want to see the matchup between Levi Wallace and Tyler Boyd. You think about Tyler Boyd, the guy who caught that pass from Andy Dalton 2 years ago to put the Bills in the playoffs. Tyler Boyd is a guy who's always on the field, even when A.J. Green's on the field, and now he's the secondary receiver to John Ross. Levi Wallace has been a guy that Bills fans have come to know, and kind of I think he's been a guy that Bills defensive staff has depended upon. That's going to be a key matchup. Whenever the Bills go man, you can say what you want about whoever Tre'Davious White's guarding, but Levi Wallace is on an island as well.
Here's from the tweet sheet, one from Big Multi. Says, I want to see Josh Allen. I want Josh Allen to tighten up. Go out and light that scoreboard up. Get him feeling real good before the Patriots. He is so fun to watch. I get it. And Big Multi, I think, probably has something in mind that a lot of Bills fans are thinking, like, hey, this is a winnable game. Let's use this game to tune up for New England, right? That's basically what Big Multi is saying there. Josh, have a good game, so you're ready to go next week. Okay.
Just win this game.
Right. Next week's game, it's important, but how much – measure this for me, Mr. Tasker. How much more important is a Patriots game to this team than the Bengals? Is it all about a feel? I mean, you beat the Patriots, you feel good, okay. You still, you know, you got the Bengals here, an AFC rival, a potential rival for a wild card spot, and AFC, you know, it's an AFC win. Well, I don't know if it's twice as important to beat the Patriots than it is to beat Cincinnati. Is it that much?
But here's the thing. It's the difference, and this is the only difference. It's the difference between beating a team that's 0-3 and a team that's 3-0. That's the difference. The Patriots will come if the Bills win this weekend, they would have beaten an 0-0 team, an 0-1 team, and an 0-2 team. And then they're going to play a team that's 3-0. One says more about you? What's that say about your expectations if you beat the 3-0 team who's defending world champions or you beat three teams who have yet to win a game a month end of the year?
That is a difference.
That's the difference. Yeah. That's really the only difference because it's only one game.
That's my point.
That's only one game. And that's the only difference is what it tells you, you can't varnish it. That's the truth. You've beaten everybody they put up against you. Okay, three of them weren't very good, but that team, you can't say that about that team. That team's good. You beat that team, and I'll tell you what. I've been kind of keeping track of this. The Bills last week were and the ESPN power rankings, they were like 22. This week they're 15. You beat the Patriots next week, and this team, you go 4-0. We're gonna have national media intense out here.
Yeah. Do you care about that?
They're gonna be out. No, but it changes the perception, does it not? Because of that team.
Do you care about that perception?
No, I don't. I don't really. It's one game.
Yeah.
It's one game.
One more from the tweet sheet. The matchup you're looking forward to the most, Bills versus Bengals. James tweets in defensive line. Exclamation point. I believe this could be a breakout game for Ed Oliver. I expect Andy Dalton to try to get rid of the football soon, but if our coverage remains sound, he won't have the options downfield, and add in the crowd noise, and we have the recipe for the W. Go Buffalo. I do think that's the matchup. That's defensive line against it's going to be at the very best a patchwork offensive line for Cincinnati, right? That would be the big advantage the Bills would have in this game going in, I think, matchup that I like the most.
And he's right, and it's the matchup where you get for the home team, because when Andy Dalton's trying to call signals, he's not going to be able to hear, particularly if the game is coming down where the crowd has a reason to get in, you know what I mean, early in the early going. It's hard on the road. It's hard. It's hard for every team, and it's multiple times harder when you get in a building like the New Era Field, where, you know, this is a crowd that knows how to affect a game. And yeah, it does make a difference. It will make a difference.
We got the injury report. We'll give it to you when we come back after this break. And we want to remind you, if you're coming to this game, this regular season opener, in a limo or a bus, you need a permit ahead of time. And time's running out. If you're going to have to park on the bus and limo parking lot, if you do not have a permit, they will turn you away. More information on bus and limo parking permits, go to Tailgate Guys. You can email them at bills@tailgateguys.com or call 716-982-8119. A permit for the bus and limo passengers in Tailgate Village, powered by Tailgate Guys. We're coming back with more. One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health from our Seneca studio. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Hey, Lorenzo Alexander standing by to join us at 2 o'clock, and a special guest to join him, so stick around for that. Steve and I here until 3. It is Friday before the home opener, the Bills and the Bengals, and the Bills' official injury report is out as of today, and they've got three players definitely ruled out of action for Sunday's game, including cornerback Taron Johnson with his hamstring. He will miss this game. He missed last week as well. Nickel corner Taron Johnson is officially out. Running back Devin Singletary will miss his third scheduled rookie game. He's got the hamstring that came up with 5 minutes to play in the game last week. Hasn't practiced all week, and Devin Singletary will not play against the Bengals. Tight end Tyler Croft, who had his first day of full practice on Wednesday, then banged up his ankle yesterday, he has been ruled out of the game as well. So three players out, one of them questionable, Corey Thompson, backup linebacker Corey Thompson with an ankle injury, and he is questionable for Sunday's game as well. Now, the rest of the injury report, what did I do with it? Oh, it's right here, duh. The good news is Andre Roberts, full practice today, limited first couple of days. Andre Roberts had that quad muscle injury from week one, hasn't played yet. Good to go. Sean McDermott said it. Andre Roberts is definitely good to go. Good news on Tre'Davious White, full practice today after limited the last 2 weeks with his little neck twinge, but he is good to go. And everybody else, I don't think there's any I don't think there's anything else. Star Lotulelei got today off for a rest day. He took Friday off. Am I reading that right? No, he was. I am reading that right. Star Lotulelei was off today. Everybody else good to go. Yep. Mixed bag on the injury report. Yep. Andre Roberts is the best news there.
It's getting that time of year where it starts to be more and more important because guys are in and out of the lineup.
Yeah.
Did you see any of that game last night? You didn't watch
it.
You were busy. It's your thing, right?
Yes.
Do you ever get? We always go around and around about replay, you know, and about what it means to the game and about how it's a plus or a minus. You don't like it. Are we ever going to get to a point where officials aren't at least part of the story? Because like last night, at this point, through 2 weeks of the season, holding penalties are up 66%. Tom Brady tweeted out last night. He goes, "I'm turning this game off. The officials are horrible. There are too many penalties." And he had Tony Dungy, you know, chiming in about what the preseason meant. You know, like Tom Brady, there you see it. I'm turning this game off because I can't watch these ridiculous penalties anymore. And it's a Tennessee versus Jacksonville game. And he said, "Yeah, just let us play," he says.
Yeah.
I get it. Tony Dungy also chimed in today saying, "Hey, listen, if these starters and the frontline players, the Fox announcers seem like they're blaming the officials for all the penalties being called. Maybe more players need to get some full-speed reps in the preseason so they don't hold, they don't false start, and jump off sides when they have to go out all out during the early part of the season." The jumping off sides and the false starts – yeah, I can see that. That's a discipline issue that you might, get with more reps in the preseason. But I don't know if I buy what Tony's saying about being full speed rep. These guys go hard in practice.
Yeah, and one thing that is not acknowledged by Tony Dungy is the emphasis by the league. The league said we're going to emphasize holding, and they have. As you said, a 66% increase in holding calls. Weeks 1 and 2 in the league, 178 penalties for offensive holding. That's up 66% from the same 2 weeks last year. A 16% total increase in total penalties from last year, weeks 1 and 2.
And it's not always just the holding penalties on these mundane running plays or whatever. It's also like the roughing the court. Jamal Adams got a fine for his hit on Baker Mayfield. You had the Chicago and Denver game that was decided by a bad roughing the passer call where the offense got to stay on the field and they end up getting the game-winning kick. All of that stuff has – or the game-tying kick. I can't remember exactly which one it was. But all this – you know, all the – listen, if you're going to call it okay, call it – just call it the same all the time and, you know, get it right.
You know what I think they do? The league decides, hey, there's too much holding. Let's emphasize it. And they call it a lot early in the season, and I bet that goes away. I'm guessing that will go away.
Here's what happens. The league puts out there and says, hey, here's what we're going to do. And then they say, okay, we're going to let all the players are doing this because everybody starts to learn the same techniques. They get this stuff. There are certain ways to do things. It's like in a wrestling match. If his leg goes here, you grab him here, that kind of thing. And so all these players and teams, the offensive linemen in particular, are sharp enough to watch film. And they say, well, they called that. And they're not calling this, so let's do the one they're not calling because it's just as effective and we can get away with it. And then the league will just say, you know what? You can't do that anymore. Now that's holding. Well, then everybody's like doing what they've been trained to do or what they've been practicing doing, or even if they haven't, if they know it's wrong, they do it out of habit because that's where they were coached for so long. So then all of a sudden everybody's got to learn again that, oh, that thing that we used to be able to do with no problem, now they're taken away from us. It takes a while to adjust to that. And there's a little bit of that going on because the league will say, for whatever reason, we don't want you to be able to get away with that anymore. We're going to stop it.
Yeah.
And it takes a while to adjust to that.
Yep.
That's what it, that's where this all is coming from, in my opinion.
Not fun to watch. No question about that. Oh, gosh.
What do you think is going to happen, Murph, when, and I say when, not if,
okay,
when you can challenge everything, anytime.
The game
calls,
will be
non-calls.
Totally unwatchable.
Right?
It will be.
It doesn't look like it's very enticing right at this moment.
It will be. All right, hey, I'll tell you what's watchable, Lorenzo Alexander, the lowdown coming up, watchable and listenable. And that's coming up when we come back after the break here for the top of the hour. Come on back. One Bills Live presented by Kalata Health, live from the Seneca Studio. Seneca Resorts and Casino, nothing comes close.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.